Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in the textbook. Today we will continue our study of wars according to the textbook. That is, the wars between the Arab states and the state of Israel. Or as the textbooks falsely states, it is the war between Israel and the Arab states. As if Israel is the one who instigated these wars. So let us listen to one more lie in another textbook.
From the textbook World History, published by Pearson Prentice Hall, copyright 2007, page 474. By the end of the 1948 war, Israel controlled almost three-fourths of Palestine, including land in the Negev Desert and half of Jerusalem. Jordan and Egypt divided the rest of Palestine between them. The Palestinians were left with no country at all.
I love it how the textbooks is covering up the history with bunch of lies one after another. Can you imagine that? After 1948, boys and girls, Israel controlled almost three-fourths of Palestine. Or the truth we should teach our children is Israel controlled three-fourths of their own homeland. Including what? The land of Negev Desert and half of Jerusalem. Can you imagine with me? When Israel controls half of their own capital, it's a crime. Let me repeat to you the truth and the history of this piece of land. It belonged to Israel. It is known that by the land of Israel, it is their homeland. They return back to it. It was never called the land of Palestine. Throughout the textbooks, all what we learn is one lie, and it's repeated and repeated and repeated over again. What is this lie? It is Israel occupy the land of Palestine. No, Israel live in Israel. We cover this from the beginning when we study the Quran teaching and the Bible teachings. Both books declare it is called the Holy Land in the Quran. It's called the Promised Land in the Bible. It's given to the Jews almost 4,000 years ago to Abraham, 400 years later to Moses, and to the children of Israel. How about this next lie?
On page 480, Israel seemed unwilling to allow a Palestinian homeland.
Israel seemed unwilling to allow a Palestinian homeland? Really? Is this what happened? Or the opposite is true? The Palestinians rejected to live in their own state under their own control next to Israel, because they believe they have the right to the entire land. They do not want to share the land with anyone, period. And here is the comments by Citizens for National Security. For they stated, these statements incorrectly assert all or most of the refugees were expelled by Israel. They also neglect to mention that the Arab states and Arabs living in Palestine started to war in 1948 for the purpose of the destruction of Israel. They inaccurately imply that there were negotiations over the Palestinian refugees, in which Israel refused Arab proposals for the refugees, return or the payment of compensation. In the early stages of the 1948 Arab war against Israel, over 200,000 Arabs left voluntarily. The Arab High Council in Haifa refused to allow any Arabs to live under Jewish rule and caused many Arabs to depart. In 1967, the Arabs, including Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, threatened war against Israel and massed their armies on Israel's borders and closed the port of Sharm el-Sheikh, an act of aggression. Israel struck first in self-defense and defeated the Arabs. The Israelis captured the West Bank, the Golan Heights, Gaza, and Jerusalem, the hereditary capital of Israel. If Israel did strike in self-defense, then it certainly may be argued that they had a right to land that belonged to Israel historically. The Arabs have consistently refused to recognize Israel's right to exist, which make any form of negotiation difficult, if not impossible. And now I would like to read to you the summary which was written by Citizens for National Security. First, in 1948, 200,000 Muslim Arabs left Israel voluntarily. Second, the Arabs themselves refused to allow their people to live under Jewish rule. Third, many of the Arabs who lived in Israel prior to 1948 supported the wars against Israel and were therefore considered a threat by the government of Israel. Many were expelled from Israel and refused the benefits of citizenship for that reason. Fourth, Arabs who did choose to remain and demonstrated loyalty to the government of Israel were given full citizenship rights. Fifth, Arabs, state and Palestinian organizations like Hamas and the PLO have consistently refused to recognize Israel's right to exist. Once again, let us look to another textbook taught to our children in our public school. And in it, they repeat more of the same lies. Notice, there is no mention of Arab rejection of the partition, and also they overlook the goal of the Palestinian to take over the entire land of Israel.
From the Florida Teacher's Guide, Corrections to Islam-Biased Content in Florida's K-12 Textbooks, Teacher's Guide, Addendum, published by Glencoe World Geography, McGraw-Hill Glencoe, copyright 2000-2003. On pages 450 through 451, after World War II, hostilities broke out in Palestine among Jews, Arabs, and British forces. Finally, the United Nations decided in 1947 to divide Palestine into separate Jewish and Arab states. When the British withdrew from Palestine, the Jews proclaimed the independent state of Israel in 1948. During the next 25 years, Arab opposition to Israel and Israel's concern for its security led to four major wars in the region. In the 1948 and 1967 Arab-Israeli conflicts, victorious Israeli forces took over Arab lands that had been part of Palestine. The wars that followed the birth of Israel forced many Palestinian Arabs from their homes to live as refugees or settlers in other lands. The status of the Palestinian refugees is an ongoing issue in the Arab-Israeli dispute. In addition, Palestinians, both refugees and those living in Israeli-occupied areas, want an independent state of their own in the West Bank and Gaza Strip areas.
And here is the comments from Citizens for National Security. This quote is misleading for what it does not say. It should be mentioned that Israel is concerned for its security because some Arab Muslim nations and jihadists have vowed to annihilate the Jewish state. The last sentence here is false. The lands taken in 1948 and 1967 were not part of a country called Palestine. Palestine was never a country. By the end of the summer of 1948, the Arabs had taken Israeli lands from the Jews. The areas that Israel took in 1967 were not part of Palestine. They were part of Jordan, Egypt, and Syria. Note that the Israelis no longer occupied Gaza. It is entirely in the hands of the Palestinians, and the West Bank is almost entirely under the control of the Palestinian Authority.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now, I'd like to read you the summary. First, Arab countries attacked Israel in 1948, 1967, and 1973. They were defeated in all three attacks. Second, the Arab states, and particularly Arabs in Gaza and the West Bank, have repeatedly called for the destruction of Israel. Third, Israel voluntarily returned Gaza to Arab control, but since then Hamas, the Arab Authority in Gaza, has fired rockets into Israel on a weekly and sometimes daily basis. Similar to their previous lies, I would like you to listen to the next book repeating the lie in different words, as we will also read to you the response of Citizens for National Security. First, let us hear the lies.
From the textbook, The American Pageant, published by Houghton Mifflin, copyright 2002. On page 935, Tiny Israel stunned the Soviet-backed Egyptians in a devastating six-day war in June 1967. When the smoke had cleared, Israel occupied new territories in the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and the West Bank of the Jordan River, including Jerusalem. Although the Israelis eventually withdrew from the Sinai, they refused to relinquish the other areas and even introduced Jewish settlers into the heavily Arab district of the West Bank. The Arab Palestinians already living in the West Bank and their Arab allies elsewhere complained loudly about the Israeli policies, but to no avail. The Middle East was becoming an ever more dangerously paced powder keg that the war-plagued United States was powerless to defuse.
And now we read the comments, which is written by Citizens for National Security, for they stated, the writer fails to mention that the Arabs were the aggressors here, provoking the war. They also failed to mention that the Golan Heights, on a hill overlooking the most fertile valley in Israel, was lined with Arab bunkers to attack Israel. The textbook reviewer was there immediately after the Six-Day War and saw them. The West Bank contained Jerusalem and other cities of historical and religious importance to Jews and Christians. Also overlooked was the Arabs' hatred of Jews in general, never letting them visit their most holy places, the Wailing Wall and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, until Israel managed to take over Jerusalem during that war. The three major wars between the Arabs and Israel in 1948, 1967, and 1973 were all started by the Arab states under the leadership of Egypt. None of them accepted the right of Israel to exist following the establishment of Israel by the United Nations in 1948, and today still refuse to acknowledge the existence of Israel. In 1967, Israel defeated the combined armies of Jordan, Syria, and Egypt following their declarations of war and mobilization of forces. Israel seized the Golan Heights, Gaza, and Sinai from each of the aggressors for self-defense purposes. In addition, Israel retook Jerusalem, the 3,000-year-old capital of Israel, and the site of the Temple of Solomon, the Jews' holiest site. I'd like to share two simple points as a summary, as stated by Citizens for National Security. First, the Arabs, not Israel, provoked the 1967 war. Second, after its victory, Israel seized Jerusalem, its ancient and historic capital. I hope and I pray by now you have seen how our textbooks were biased in favor of the Arab Muslim nations and the Palestinian by spreading their lies. Almost in every passage, they are rewriting the history, sadly, to our own children here. Finally, in the end of this broadcast, I would like to share with you what the textbooks taught our children about the condition of the Jews, those who immigrate to the United States of America after World War II.
In the text, The American Vision, published by McGraw, Hill, Glencoe, copyright 2005. On page 56, following the tragic events of World War II, thousands of homeless European Jews came to the United States. Many Eastern Jews, particularly from Iran and Syria, soon followed. With the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, many Russian Jews migrated to America. Unlike the Russian immigrants of the 1800s, these Jews had little opportunity to maintain Jewish customs or to study Hebrew.
And now is the comments written by Citizens for National Security. Statement about Jews is written in such a way that it makes the reader think that Jews had little opportunity to maintain Jewish custom or to study Hebrew in America. It does not mention the Holocaust by name. It also fails to mention why Jews also came from Iran and Syria. These quotes are both misleading and inaccurate. First, Jews came to America from Iran and Syria because those Islamic countries became hostile to their ancient Jewish populations. It is estimated that over 1 million Jews were forced to leave Arab countries between 1948 and 1970. It is nonsense to say that Jews had little opportunity to maintain their customs and study Hebrew. America's Constitution protects freedom to worship. Therefore, all Jews, and for that matter, immigrants of all religions, have ample opportunity to maintain their religion and customs. Jews are free to keep their custom, study their ancient language of Hebrew, and worship in their synagogues. There are over 3,700 synagogues in America, and many of these houses of worship teach Hebrew. Finally, here is the summary, which was given also by Citizens for National Security. First, Jews did not just leave Iran and Syria, they were driven out and their property seized. Second, over 1 million Jews were forced to leave Arab countries between 1948 and 1970. Third, Jews have ample opportunity to worship Judaism and study Hebrew in America if they so choose. Fourth, America allows full freedom of religion. It is amazing how our textbook looked down on the Jews in their own home country and even here in America as any of the immigrants who came to the United States of America. And to prove that the textbook is biased, they have not done any of that towards any of other religious groups who came to America. Not the Muslim for sure, nor the Buddhists or Hindus. For I personally believe the only two faiths which made fun of or rejected for the doctrine of their belief and for their holy writings is the Jewish faith and the Christian faith. In the next broadcast, we will be talking about what our textbook in our public school teaches about the reaction of the Palestinian to the existence of the State of Israel, which is known by the Intifada. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.